I wanted to let everybody know today that before I begin, that Brother Joey Hayes, he sits over here every Sunday, and he takes care of taping the services, and he is pretty much involved with anything that in the church that has to do with the sound system. And he tapes our winter Bible study lessons, and I know sometimes that some may ask him to run a copy of a service. Maybe there's a particular sermon or something that you had an interest in, and you may ask Brother Joey to run a copy of that, and he doesn't ever seem to mind doing that. But I just wanted to tell everybody now, if you need him to do anything for you, you need to give him a little bit more time, because he's 50 now, and so he might be a little bit slower. So that's my way of saying happy birthday, brother. I want to ask you to turn with me and read along, if you would. Scripture found in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Matthew 14, 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." And I'll stop my reading there with verse 32. I have a question today that I would like to put before you before I make some comments concerning this scripture and other scriptures that I have today to read before you. But the title of my message today will be in the form of a question, and that is, why have you come? And to perhaps make it the question even a little bit more narrow, I want you to ponder the question in your heart today, why you have come here today on this Sunday morning, December of 2011, why you have come here today to this morning worship service at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. Why are you here? In these verses that I read before you, this account of the Lord walking on the sea, what we find had transpired was that the Lord, he sent his disciples away, and he had some things that he had to deal with. He had some things that he had to take care of. And so the Bible says that he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. And so they left him and they got in the ship and they launched out. And the Lord stayed. And he also had to take care of the multitudes, of sending the multitudes away. And then he, after that, after he had sent the multitudes away, he went away by himself in a solitary place to spend time praying. And then when he had finished those things, he went to his disciples. And I want you to, the main point that I wanted to share with you in that is that the Lord, when he had finished the things that he was taking care of, and of course we realize at this time that we're talking about God in the flesh, and when he had finished those things that he wanted to do, it was his desire then to go and to be with his disciples. And I believe that the Lord then, and we have other situations in which Jesus did this, but I believe the Lord then, and I believe the Lord now, greatly desires to be with his people. I know that I love to come to the house of God. And I believe that you love to come to the house of God. I believe that you have that desire because you're here today and from week to week. And we need to remember that when we are assembled together, that the Lord has a great desire to assemble with us. He comes to church. And I'm thankful that he does. And I also want you to notice in this that when the Lord decided to go, when it was time for him to go, when he had taken care of the business at hand and sent the multitudes away and had prayer and now had gone to the disciples, he showed himself unto them as God. Jesus could have. He could have got in a boat, I suppose, and he could have rowed out there in a boat to where the disciples went, but he went to them in a very powerful way, didn't he? They looked out and they saw him coming to them, walking on the water. And I believe that today when the Lord shows up in our presence, that he still proves himself as God. And we know that it's the Lord that has come into our presence. He has a way of making us know that. And I enjoy something that I enjoy about, assembling. And you've heard me say many times and quote the verse there many times from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This is something that we are told that we are to do. This is something that we are told that we are not to forsake. We are not to forsake what we are doing here today. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And there are a lot of things that we may anticipate. And I hope today that, and I want you to think about the question that I ask about why that you're here today. And I hope that you are here today in expectation and in anticipation of things, because we certainly should be. There should be, when we come together in this fashion, when we assemble ourselves together, there should be some preparation that is made beforehand. Amen. There should be some things that we do. We should come here prepared for the purpose of why we are here. I think that sometimes, we just we stop what we're doing and we make a last minute dash to maybe run through the house and take care of what needs to be done, and then rush out the door and come to church. But when we are approaching the time that we assemble ourselves together, there should be things that we have done beforehand in preparation for that hour. And one of them is that we should have been very, very prayerful towards the service. We should have spent some time in prayer before we assemble ourselves together. And so we find the Lord, going to his disciples in a very magnificent fashion, walking on the water. And we see that by the time that the Lord did that, by the time that he had gone, it was in the fourth watch of the night when Jesus went to them. And by the time that that happened, the wind had rose up, and it was making things treacherous for them in the ship. And I'll tell you what, the Lord loves to show up, and he loves to be with his children when we are in trouble and when we're in danger. I believe that that's part of the Lord being the great shepherd that he is, that he watches over us and he protects us. And whenever that we have trouble in our lives as his children, we ought to certainly anticipate and we ought to expect that the Lord will be with us. He is our heavenly Father, and he loves his children more than any father has ever loved his children. And so there's some things that we ought to expect and anticipate from the Lord. And we find in the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with about the 19th verse. In fact, let's turn there together to the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And this was after that the Lord Jesus had been crucified and after his resurrection. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And so we find in the Bible that after that the Lord had resurrected and before he ascended back to heaven, that he assembled with his disciples. He still had that desire to be in their midst and to show himself. In fact, the Bible tells us in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, it tells us about the Lord appearing at different times unto his people after that he had resurrected and proved himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. He was seen of them. The Apostle Paul talks about at one point of him being seen above 500 at once, and he was seen of them because he was with them and chose to be with them after that he had resurrected from the dead. The Lord Jesus had promised to his church that he would always be with them, that it would not be in the flesh, but he would always be with them. And you read the 14th and the 15th and the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, and those three chapters deal with the Lord's promise that he would send the Comforter, that he would send the Holy Ghost. He promised them that he would not leave them alone. I'll tell you, I believe today that God is still with his people. I believe today that the Lord is still walking. You read there in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters there of the book of Revelation, where we read about those seven churches there in Asia Minor, and it refers to those churches as the candlestick. And one of the things there that is said in that discourse is that the Lord was walking among them. And I believe that he is still walking among his church today. And he still has a desire today to meet with us. As I said, he's not doing that in his person anymore. In his body, he long ago ascended back to heaven. But he promised his church that he would be with her just the same. And if you read in the last chapter of Matthew, in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, the Lord said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so he promised his church that through the work of the third person of the Godhead, through the Holy Spirit, that he would be in the midst of his people and that he would be with his church. And when they saw here in this 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, when the Lord had showed himself unto them and they knew that the Lord was there, it says that the disciples were glad. And when I thought about that, I just thought about how that when we assemble ourselves together, aren't you thankful and glad when the Lord shows up? Aren't you thankful when suddenly we begin to feel that heavenly presence? When we begin to feel the presence of God among us, it makes our hearts glad. And it just seems that suddenly changes the tone of the whole assembly. The Lord is with us. I've heard people say, and I believe I've said this before here, but I've heard people say, and a lot of times I'm afraid that it's used as an excuse, because those that have said it to me at times are people that have strayed away and they've dropped out of church. But I've heard people say that, well, what's the use in going? There's no power, you know, there anymore. There's no power in the churches. Well, I'll tell you what, friends, the only thing that's going to keep God from manifesting his power among us is if we ourselves quench the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, we're going to feel the presence, and I believe and am fully persuaded that the power of God is still with his churches, his true churches, and Jesus promised them that they were going to receive power. He had promised them that he was going to send the Holy Ghost, and he promised them that they were going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Jesus loves the assembly. He loves to be in the midst of the assembly of his saints to the point that he promised that if it were just two or three that gathered in his name, that he would be in the midst of them. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so here today, we have many more than that. But we could claim, we could lay claim to that promise that if there were just two or three of us gathered, that the Lord promised to be with us. And certainly as we gather here today, we have the promise from the Lord to be with us. And given the fact that when we assemble, and I began to say just a moment ago some of the things that I anticipate and some of the things that I truly enjoy about the assembly of the saints is that I do truly love to be with my brothers and my sisters. You know, throughout the week, I look forward to that with great anticipation that I will get to see you again and that we'll be able to be assembled together again and that we'll be able to sing our songs together and that we'll be able to pray together and that we'll be able to share our testimonies one with another and share our burdens with each other and pray for each other. Those are things that I look forward to with great anticipation of the time to come when we can meet together again and assemble ourselves that way. But listen, the thing that I look forward to the most is to think about the opportunity that we have together to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something today. No matter what we do here today, if we don't make God happy, then we haven't accomplished the most important thing. If we don't honor the Lord today, if we don't glorify the Lord in our assembly today, then we have missed the main point. If we don't exercise faith in Him today, then we have missed the point. And because the Lord told us very plainly in His Word that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And when we came here today and we assembled ourselves today, it certainly ought to go far beyond the thought of a social gathering. I hope today that you didn't come here just for the purpose of singing hymns. I hope that you are not here today just for the purpose of hearing a sermon. I hope that you're not here today just to be assembled with your brothers and sisters. I hope that we have our sights set on the Lord today and that we come here expecting today that God was going to pour His blessings out upon us and that God was going to pour His power out upon us. I hope you came here today with a prayer on your heart that God would take you and that He would use you in His service today. The Lord may have something for you to do in this service today that may have a greater effect upon somebody than what the sermon may have or what a song may have. God may have a word upon your heart that He places upon your heart to say to someone, to speak to someone. You may have those apples of gold today and pitchers of silver. You may have that to speak to someone that may affect them in a great way. And so I pray that we would come to be used of the Lord in His assembly today. In Acts chapter 1, we read about chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Acts. We read about the fulfilling of that great promise that the Lord gave to His church. He said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And if you read Luke's account of the Great Commission, you'll find the way that Luke recorded it there was that Jesus had promised them great power, but then He told them to tarry in Jerusalem. You wait here and you tarry in Jerusalem until that promise is upon you, until you are endued with power from on high. And folks, I'll tell you, they were being obedient unto the Lord. His church was obeying exactly what He had told them to do. They were not scattered here and there and involved in everything in the world. They were together, and the Bible tells us that they were of one mind and they were of one accord and they were together in prayer. They were there trying to keep themselves together the way that the Lord had told them, and to tarry and to wait. You know, listen, folks, we need to take the time to tarry before God together. We need to wait before Him in prayer together that we might see Him do His work. That's what they were doing. Sometimes today, one of the things that hinders us is we're just in too big of a hurry. Too big of a hurry. Time belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? He instituted it, and he's keeping it. And when he gets finished with it, he's going to bring it to an end. It belongs to him. And they were being patient, and they were waiting for that which God had promised them to come upon them. You read the first chapter of Acts, and that's exactly what you'll find. Those 120 people assembled there together in that upper room, and they were in prayer, and they were waiting patiently for that promise of great power to come upon them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's exactly what happened. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and that great, unusual, extraordinary power came upon them. And folks, I'll tell you what, when we meet together, when we assemble together, that's what we need to pray for, and that's what we need to anticipate, that God would pour his power out upon us. Because I'll tell you something, we're not going to accomplish the work of God if we don't have the manifestation of his power among us. You believe today that God can bless us? You believe that God can bless this service here this morning at Fairview Memorial the way that he did there on the day of Pentecost? You believe that God can just pour his Spirit and his power out upon us today without measure, that God can just fill this house here today the way that he filled the temple there with his great glory and his power in the time when Solomon, when they had finished the temple and Solomon got on that brazen scaffold there in front of all those people, and that king got down upon his knees and he began to pray that prayer of dedication, and the glory of the Lord filled the house to the point where it says the priest could not even enter and do their service because the glory of the Lord was so powerful among them. Folks, I'll tell you what, we're serving a God today that hasn't changed, and he never will change, and he's got the same power today that he's always had. He's got the same power that he had in the day that he spoke the world into existence, and we ought to believe and have faith and anticipate today that he can pour that out upon us the same as he did upon his church in days gone by. God can do the same thing. I'll tell you what, we got people here today that, as far as we know, they're lost and without God. And I'll tell you what, God, he can wipe the slate clean today. He can save everybody that's here that's lost today. In that day when he poured his power out upon them there, the day of Pentecost, and fulfilled that great promise to the church, the Bible tells us that there were 3,000 that were saved and added to the church. Did you come here today just to fill your spot in your seat? Did you come today just to be able to say, well, I did my duty today, I went to church? Did you come here today not expecting much more than to do that? Or did you come prayerfully, with great anticipation, expecting that God today would make himself manifest in a mighty way among us, and that those that may assemble with us today, I'll tell you what, folks, listen, when those that are lost and in sin, and I remember it being this way from my childhood, when those who are lost and without God, when they assemble with the saints of God, they should not be able to sit comfortably among the assembly of the saints. They ought to be uneasy. They ought to feel condemned. If you're here today and you're not saved, did you come here today determined to seek the Lord? Did you determine in your heart, I'm going to go there and I'm going to sit among those praying people today? I'm going to assemble with those saints of God today. I'm going to seek the Lord for the salvation of my soul. Did you come here today determined to seek Him and determined to seek Him until He comes and speaks peace to your troubled heart? Why did you come? Why have you chosen to assemble? Are you here to be used of the Lord? It's His church, isn't it? It's His church. And it's God that has granted us the opportunity that we have today to be here together. Do you believe the old saying, you know, about life in general? Do you believe that you get out of something what you put into it? I do. I believe that goes for a job, a sport, anything that we do, you get out of it what you put into it. And that's exactly the way it is with the work of the Lord. And that's exactly the way it is, assembling in the Lord's house, coming together, worship. You will get out of it what you put into it. That's my thoughts today. I want to, as we get ready to have a song, I want to urge everybody here today, saved or lost, to follow the Spirit of God, to do what God, and I'm not asking you to do something that you want to do. I'm asking you to follow the Spirit of the Lord. I believe God will speak to us. I believe He does speak to us. I believe the Lord will move us in that He would have for us to do. And so today I want to encourage those who are saved to follow the Spirit of God. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to submit to the drawing power of the Lord and to be willing to come to Him and to trust Him, today. That He will save you, to come with the, great anticipation and great expectation of a great God doing great things. That's what He wants to do. I'll tell you what, Jesus still wants to walk on the water in our lives. And He wants to allow us to walk on the water with Him. And so, let's just follow the Lord today as we stand and sing.